The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisiso. In Parshas Kisiso, we have the subject of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. The Torah tells us in Shmos Lamed Aleph Posuk Yud Ches. It's right by Sheni. Vayitein el Meshe kechalese ledaber itei bahar Sinai shnei luchos ha'edus. Meshe went up to the mountain after the receiving the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, which was on the 6th of Sivan. He went up for 40 days afterwards. And when Hashem finished speaking to him, and he gave him the entire Torah and the Shnei Luchos HaEdus, the two tablets, Evan Ksuvim Be'etzba Elokim, which were made of stone, written with the finger of Hashem. Now in the meantime, Bayara'om Kiveshis Meshe L'Eredes Minohor, that the nation saw that Meshe was delayed in coming down from the mountain, Vayikoela Om Al Arin, and the nation gathered to Arin, Vayemre Elov, and they said to him, Kum Aseilonu Elohim Asheyechul Lefoneinu, get up and make for us a God which will go before us. Kizeh Meshe Isha She'alonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Le'adanu Meho Yilei. Because this Moshe, this man, who took us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. So Aaron said, take off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, Bneichem and Eisechem, your sons and your daughters, Behaviu Eloi, and bring them to me. Aishku Kolobes Nizme Azov Asher Beoznehem. And the nation took off the rings of gold which were in their ears, Vayoviu Al Arin, and they brought them to Arin, Vayikach Miyodom. He took them from their hands, Vayotzar Eise Bacheret, Vayase Egel Masecho. And he formed an image and came out a molten calf. Vayemru, and they said, Elu Elohecho Yisrael Asher Halucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, this is your God, Israel, which has taken you up out of Egypt. Vayar Aaron, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefonov. And Aaron saw what took place, and he built an altar before him. Vayikra Aaron, Vayemar, and Aaron called out and said, Chag Lashem Achor, tomorrow shall be a yantif for Hashem. Vayashkimu mimochoros, and they got up the next day, Vayalu olos vayagishu shlomim, and they brought sacrifices. Vayeshev om leachol v'shosei vayakum eletzachet. And the nation sat down to eat and drink, and then they got up to sport. Now, the golden calf is probably one of the most tragic episodes in Jewish history. The fact is that this that we have, Yom Kippur, basically came to atone for the chait of the golden calf, for this Aveira. And there's a Gemara that states that Kol Peronies, all of the punishments which Hashem brings on Yisrael during the years throughout history, always has some of the punishment from the golden calf. Idolatry, Aveda Zora, is the most severest Aveda in the Torah. The Torah tells us that someone who commits idolatry is as if he has transgressed all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So it's difficult to understand how all of Israel should go and serve a golden calf. But it's even more difficult to understand two other questions. That is, that at this time, this was the greatest point in the history of Klal Yisrael. Because it took place exactly at the time of the giving of the Torah. The high point of Yisrael was the giving of the Torah. That was the ultimate purpose of the going out of Egypt, all of the miracles and nisim v'niflaos. And when they came to Har Sinai, and there the heavens opened up, and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saw as humanly possible as it was, the Almighty, and they heard his voice, and they saw all the miracles, and the thunder, and the lightning, and they heard the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. And they came to such heights that the Gemara brings at the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, they came to heights which they became Chorus min Malach HaMoves, that they would be free from the angel of death. Ani amarti ki b'nei elyon atem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on them that you were like angels. And the Gemara says that ein loshen ve'uma v'chelim lishleit bahem, that after they received that Torah, there was no nation that would ever be able to rule over them had they remained on that level. And now Moshe is on the mountain and he's learning the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the highest point of prophecy in the world, and at this time they should go and they should serve a golden calf. This is one question. And the second question is that it seems that one of the inspirations to serve the golden calf came from Aaron, that he was the one who helped. And how could that be possible? So this is a subject that needs study. Let's see what we can understand from it this evening. Right, firstly, we have to understand, go a little deeper into the various psukim, the sentences of the Torah that we read. It's in with the Pirush Rashi, the commentary of Rashi. Vayara om ki veshes Moshe laredes min ahor, that the nation saw that Moshe was delayed in coming down from the mountain. So Rashi explains that it started with an error. The Torah was given on this fifth day of Sivan. That's when they all heard the Ten Commandments. The next morning, Moshe returned to the mountain, and he told the people he would be back in 40 days, and we would come back in the middle of the day, at noon, at such and such a time. Moshe meant 40 complete days he would be on the mountain. And he had gone up to the mountain in the morning, so that day would not be counted as day number one, because a complete day is Leila Imai, with the night before together with it. The people had misunderstood him, and they thought that he would come back 40 days from today. So there was a miscalculation there of a day. On the 40th day, when Moshe didn't return, and that's what is meant, Kiveshus, Moshe laredes min ahor, that Moshe was delayed. So they became very panicky. And they thought maybe something happened. Now, there's a logical reason why they should become panicky, because they saw Moshe go up to a mountain in a wilderness and stay there for 40 days, and there was nothing to eat and nothing to drink, and this is something which is not humanly possible. The fact is, had Moshe come back, that would be the miracle, not if he did not come back. So there was a reason why they should become panicky. Secondly, they were in the middle of the wilderness, and there was nothing for them to eat, barring miracles. The entire years of the desert, they were fed with the miracle of the man. And they knew that all of this had come through their great leader, Moshe. So there was a basis why to be somewhat concerned when Moshe did not come back at the time stipulated. But there was another reason also. And that was because the Chazal tell us of the Erev Rav. Actually, Klal Yisrael themselves would have managed to get through this difficult period. But there was an Erev Rav, there was a mass of peoples which came out from Egypt and joined Israel when they saw the great miracles that took place. They were not from the nation of Israel. They were other peoples. And they went along with Klal Yisrael. Moshe had accepted them.
He had accepted them as prospective converts. And these were the people that were not truly tested. And when it came to such a difficult crossroads, they started to panic. And you know, when some start to panic, even a minority, so it starts to panic the others. Vayikrelo am al Aaron, so they came to Aaron, because Aaron was the next in charge. Vayemru elov, kum asei lona lehim asher yelchu lefaneinu. We need someone to lead us. Make for us a God who will go before us. Because Moshe, this man, we do not know what has happened to him. Rashi brings, on the day that Moshe, and the hour that they thought Moshe would return, Boha Sotan, the Sotan came, the power of evil in the world, this Malach HaMoves, this angel of death came, and he brought confusion to the whole world. And he brought darkness to the world. And they said that this must be a sign that Moshe has died. This is why all of this darkness and confusion is coming. And then also, what does it mean, Moshe, this man? They saw an image of a man in the heavens, and who was being carried. And the Sultan was able to do this. So they took this also as a sign that Moshe for sure has died and is not returning now. And now he's left us in the desert all alone. And he was the one who took us through this desert, so we need someone else. Now Aaron had total trust that Moshe would return. And even with all of these signs, he was not taken in by them. But here he was dealing with a nation. It was a nation of millions of people. There were 600,000 males between the ages of 20 and 60, but this doesn't count all of their children and all of the older people and their wives. Plus there was the Erev Rav, the masses of peoples that came out together with them. And it's not easy to control a nation if they start to panic in the middle of a wilderness. So Aaron, after trying to quiet them down, saw that this was not going to work. So he decided that he will use delaying tactics to give time for Moshe to return, because he knew Moshe would return. So he said, "Porku nizme azov asher biozden ishechem b'neichem v'neisechem." He said, "All right, you want to make a god? We'll make one. Bring gold. Bring the gold from the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, v'haviu eloi, and bring them to me." Now, he knew that the wives and the sons and the daughters wouldn't give up their gold so easily. Therefore, he felt this was an excellent delaying tactic, that who knows how long it'll take them to convince the wives and the sons and the daughters to give up their gold. So this is why he told them this. Bisporku kolo omes nizme azov asher biaznehem. The people didn't go to the wives and to the sons and the daughters. They were becoming so terrified, especially the Erev Rav, that they went and they took the gold off their own ears. And vayaviu el Aaron, and they brought this immediately to Aaron, and therefore the delaying tactic didn't work. Incidentally, had they gone to the women wouldn't have given to them at all. Because in this whole episode, this Chazal tell us that the women were not involved. They did not panic. They had full trust in Moshe and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikach mayod miyodam vayotzeise bacheret vayaseyu egel masecho. So Aaron took it, and they made a oven, a very fiery furnace of heat to melt down the gold. And then it states that an egel masecha vayaseo egel masecha, a molten calf came out. Kiven she shlichu laor bikur bo mikshve erev rav shoel olui mohem mitzrayim vashuk bikshofi. Once they threw it into the furnace, the erev rav, these masses of people came, and through witchcraft, through kishuf, they brought out this golden calf. Now the sages ask, why does it say this is your God Israel? It should state this is our God. Because the Eir of Rav, these masses of people, were the ones that were talking. They pointed to Israel and they said, this is your God that has taken you up out of Egypt. Now Aaron saw and he built an altar in front of them, in front of him. Why did he go build an altar? So Rashi brings Vayar Aaron. Aaron saw many things. What did he see? First of all, he saw that it had a Ruach Haim, that the golden calf actually started to breathe. How was that possible? The power of the sotan started to succeed and was able to give this calf a ruach haim, a living spirit. And once Aaron saw that, vayar Aaron, he saw that, he saw, how am I going to discourage them? How am I going to tell them that this is not it? That's the first thing. Secondly, Chur, who was his nephew, that was the son of Miriam, also one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, he tried to stop the people and he tried to rebuke them. But it had gone so far that already it was a panic, a mob, and they killed him. So when he saw this, he saw that it's going to be impossible to stop these people with logic. So therefore he said, all right, I will build an altar. If I tell them to build an altar, how long does it take thousands of people to build an altar? Immediately. I will build an altar, and I will work very, very slowly. And hopefully by that time, Moshe would have returned. Then he called out and he said, Chag l'Hashem mochor. It shall be a yontif to Hashem tomorrow. Evidently, he knew the right calculation, and he knew that Moshe would return tomorrow. So he said, Chag l'Hashem, that tomorrow will be a yontif to Hashem. Not to the Avedis or to the idolatry, but to Hashem. Because tomorrow morning, Moshe will be back. So therefore, he delayed the people till tomorrow, hoping that by that time, Moshe would be back. Unfortunately, Vayashkimo Mimachoros, again, the Sotan and the Yetzirah came into the forefront, and Vayashkimu, they got up early in the morning. See, Moshe had said he would return by noon. And they got up early in the morning, the next morning, Vayalu Oiles Vayagishu Shlomim, and they brought sacrifices. Vayeshevom Lechel Veshosei Vayakumu Letzachek. And they sat to eat and drink, and they got up to sport. Now, to sport, the Chazal bring here was Avedah Zorah, committing idolatry, Shfichas Domim, there was bloodshed, and Gila Rais, and there was acts of immorality, acts of adultery and incest. The Shfichas Domim was Chur, that they had killed Chur. Where did this all come from? Because once there's a wildness sets in, and there's a lack of control, then anything can happen. Now, the Torah tells us what's taking place in the meantime on the mountain. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lechred. He said, go down. Go down immediately. Now, this has two interpretations. Go down to care for the nation, and lech lechred migduloscha. and go down from your lofty heights, from your greatness. Because the entire reason why I gave you greatness was because of Klal Yisrael. But now that this is happening to Yisrael, lech reid, go down. Ki shiches amcho asher aleisu me'eretz Mitzrayim, because your nation has destroyed itself, which you have taken up out of Egypt. Here is the question, what does it mean, your nation? Hashem says to Moshe, which you have taken up out of Egypt. Because Hashem was referring to the Eir of Rav. When all of these people wanted to come and join Israel in going out of Egypt, you didn't come to ask counsel from me if you should accept them or not. You did it on your own. And I wasn't so happy with it, the Almighty said. So this is your nation. And this is the nation which you have taken out of Egypt. They are the ones that are shiches. Shiches v'hishches. They've destroyed themselves and in the process of destroying my nation. So go down immediately. Soru maher min aderech asher tzivisem. Osu lehem egel masecho. They have turned quickly from the derech, from the way that which I have commanded them. They have made this molten calf. They are bowing to it. They are sacrificing to it. And they are saying, this is the God which has taken you up out of Egypt. Then Moshe prays to the Almighty for forgiveness and so forth. And then Moshe goes down. Well, he comes down with the tablets, and when he saw what took place, what is taking place, so he breaks the tablets. And then he meets Yeshua, who was outside of the camp the entire time, waiting for Moshe, the entire time Moshe was up on the mountain. And he destroys the calf. And he comes to Aaron and he says, what have you done to this nation? And Aaron answers. He says, I didn't do that much. They came to me and they said, let us make a God, because Moshe is not coming back. We don't know what happened to him. And I told them, whoever has gold, go and bring it. And I threw it into the fire, Vayetzo Eglaze, and this calf came up by itself. Vayar Meshe So'om Ki Faruahu. And Meshe saw that the nation was Faruah. Faruah means uncovered. Ki Perol Aaron Leshimtsa Bekomehem. Through this act of Aaron, they have become open and uncovered. The shame has become uncovered for all generations to come. And there's another meaning here, that when someone becomes porua, when someone becomes uncovered, that means when the discipline and the control is lost, then anything can happen. Like we see from here that they went from idolatry to bloodshed to immorality. And then the Torah tells us that Moshe judges the nation and so forth. Now, when we go into the depths of the psukim, at least we see a little more background as to why they came to this. That it wasn't so simple. But there's more to say also. The Maral Zichrein Vrocha, in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Beis, he asks the question, why should it take place at this time? The greatest downfall of Klal Yisrael came at their greatest height. Why? Excuse me. See, he answers, there are two reasons. This is not coincidental. But Dafke, specifically, it could have only taken place at this time. And there are two reasons. The Gemara brings in Mesechta Sukkah and Daf Nun Beis Amar Aleph. Yetzohar Meiniach Es Umes Eilam Umiskore Bi Yisrael Ki Higdlasis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world of goodness, he created a force of evil. This is a reality. this force of evil. This force of evil has different names. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, Zu Yetzirah, Zu Asotim, Zu Malach HaMavis. This is what is known as the Yetzirah. In other words, the evil force that's in the person. It is known as the Sotan that's in the world. It is known as the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. It's all one. Actually, the Gemara Masech Tesukhi here brings that Zayin Shemesh Yeshlai. It has seven different names. But whatever it is, it's a force of evil which the Almighty put into the world. He put it into the world for a specific purpose, because without it, then there would be no opportunity for man to achieve. The opportunity for man to achieve is for him to overcome obstacles of evil in the world. If there was no evil in the world, so he would not be able to perfect himself and to achieve. And this is a reality. The Gemara brings that the Yetzirah doesn't go after the nations of the world, but rather he chooses to go after Israel. He's more interested in them. Omar Abayu b'Talmud Chochem Yesim Mekulam. And then Abaya says that actually he goes after a Talmud Chochem, the Torah sages, even more. And Tanya Agodl Mechaveru Yetzru Godl Himenu. And we learned, not like one might think, that the more perfect and greater a person becomes, the more free he becomes from his Yetzirah. No. The Yetzirah grows with the person. So a person is never free. There's no such thing that the greater a person will become, the less temptation he'll have. The temptation or the obstacles might take on different forms. But kol hagodl mechaveri yetzir godl emenu. The more a person grows above other people, the more his Yetzirah will grow with him. Now why is this? So the Maral explains two reasons. One is this force of evil that the Hashem, that the Almighty placed in the world, this was to be a counterforce to man in order, as we said, to give man the opportunity to overcome this evil and to achieve and to perfect himself. To give him the chance of doing something great in the world. If there was no force against it, it's not a great achievement. And therefore, the force is always equal to the undertaking. If a person tries a very small undertaking, so the counterforce of evil is also likewise going to be very small. If a person tries an undertaking which is somewhat greater, so there will be that counterforce of evil against it. If a person tries to move worlds, then he's going to find a force of evil that can move worlds against him. We have a similar principle in the physical world. We have what is known as the force of gravity. There's a physical force, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, put into the world in order that nothing should try to project itself too high into the atmosphere. This force, the job of this force is to keep everything down. If something tries to project itself a little, right, there's a counter force of gravity against it. If something tries to project itself higher, there's a greater counterforce against it. With more force higher, then there's even a greater counterforce against it. The force of gravity is to make sure that nothing projects itself too high out of order of the rest of the universe. Similar to this is in the spiritual world. The force of evil is there, and its task is to see that nothing should grow too high. And this is why that the higher a person tries to grow, the more difficult it's going to be, and the greater the force he will be confronted by through the Yetzer Hara. Fize, according to this, the greatest height that Klal Yisrael came to was at this point, the giving of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on Klal Yisrael that at this point you were like Bnei Elyon, you were like Malochim. The fact is, as I mentioned, had they remained on that height, they would have been free from the Malach HaMavos, they would have been free from death. So they were trying to reach heights which were unparalleled in the world. So at that point would be the greatest force of Ra, of evil against them. So therefore, this is one of the reasons why Dafke at that time they fell to such depths as to go and be Eved Aveiros Zarah, to serve a golden calf. This is one reason. There's a second reason also, which is very similar to this reason, but it's from another aspect. When the Almighty created the Yetzer Hara, it was called Ra, evil, and it was a type, it was symbolized as Cheshek, darkness. Darkness is not a positive power. Darkness is rather a negative power. It's a lack of positive power. Light is positive. The lack of light is darkness. The same with the Ra, with the evil. Evil is not a positive force. Rather, it's a negative force. It's a lack of positive force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Vayara Elokim Ki Tov, and he saw it was good. Goodness is positive. Light is positive. The lack of light is darkness. The lack of goodness is Ra. This is why the Gemara brings that Gehenom is merely an abyss. It's an abyss of emptiness. Because it's the lack of creation, not where it's a creation by itself. So this is what evil is. Therefore, evil has its best success not in a positive state of affairs, but rather where there's a lack of positivity, where there's a negative state of affairs. This means as follows. If a person reaches a perfection, their evil will have its weakest hold. But if a person lacks a perfection, their evil will be able to take hold of it. Actually, very similarly, we have this in the physical world. If a person is physically sound, then disease and infection cannot set in. But if there's an imperfection physically, so this is already now an entree for disease and infection. So does the Keach HaRa, the power of evil, work. When a person is sound and he's positive and he's perfect, then the Yetzer Hara has a difficult time taking hold. But if the person is chosar, he's lacking, there's a voidness, there's a vacuum, then evil can take a hold. Because this is the nature of Ra, this is the nature of evil itself. And therefore the Maral says that when a person seeks a level which is not a very high level, it will be easy for him to attain perfection at that level. And then the power of evil will have a difficult time taking hold. But when a person seeks higher levels, these levels are very difficult to attain with perfection. An example he gives in the physical world, you take the power of sight and the power of mind. Why is it that eyes very seldom deceive a person? What he sees, he sees. In other words, his sight is accurate. But when it comes to the power of thought, it's common that people make mistakes. They calculated wrong. Their calculation was wrong. Their logic was wrong. Their reasoning was wrong. Their foresight was wrong. Why is this? Because when you compare the power of sight to the power of thinking, there's a great difference between these levels. The power of sight, even though it's a tremendous level, but is a much easier level than the power of thinking. Therefore, the power of sight a person can attain almost with total perfection. But the power of thought and the intellect, that is something that when he attains that level, he's just holding on to it with his fingers. But he doesn't become an entire balabos where it's in his hands totally, where there's no margin of error. So is it when we come to madregas, levels in serving Hashem, levels in spiritual heights. If we try to attain a level at the physical world, then we can attain it in totality. But when we try to attain higher heights in the spiritual world, it's not easy. And even when we do attain these heights, not all of the time are they in totality with perfection. So therefore, meiniach hayetzahara es kol umay shebaylam. The yetzahara leaves the nations of the world. Umidgarbi Yisrael, and goes after Yisrael, because Yisrael is the nation which was given the Torah and the 613 mitzvahs, and they are constantly seeking to gain higher heights, and those heights they cannot hold on in totality. And there the Yetzirah has a greater achiza, he has a greater entry to this. Ubetavet chochem yeshe bekulam, and with the Talmud Chochem more than anyone else, because the Talmud Chochem is the one who gives his life for Torah and constantly going into greater heights which are almost impossible to hold with a completion. So there the Yetzirah finds an entry even easier, and therefore kol agodl mechaveri yetzir godl mimenu, that the greater a person grows, he should know that the Yetzer Hara will grow with him. Now this does not, we might say, Im Kain, if so, then a person is better off if he stops seeking heights altogether, because he'll be free of the Yetzer Hara. This is a good question. The answer is follows, is as follows. When a person does not grow, he only grows physically. He becomes a physical being and does not grow mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. It is true. He's actually, what he has completely. But nevertheless, he's a very physical person. He's a very physical being. And he's very similar to an animal that's totally physical. So his nature will become very similar to the nature of the physical world, and in essence, he can be ra, he can be evil. He can lack goodness. Those who seek spiritual heights, they depart and separate themselves from the physical levels. And they become great spiritual people. And they become full of goodness. So there's a great difference between they and the others. But at the same time, they can be more prone to the pitfalls of the Yetzer Hara, where not in essence do they have evil in themselves, but they're prone to the temptation of the Yetzer Hara, to the Giri, to the drive of the Yetzer Hara, where they can be suddenly cast down. And this was Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had risen to tremendous heights. They weren't a total physical being whatsoever. They had risen to such heights where HaKadosh Baruch Hu testified on them that they're almost like angels. But at the same time, they were prone to the Giri Had Yetzer, to the drive, to the force of the Yetzer, where they could be cast down from tremendous heights to tremendous depths. So these are two reasons which give us an understanding in this power of evil, and an understanding why it happened to Yisrael at this time. That firstly, the force of evil that was put into the world and into the person was a counterforce against good that he attempts to do. So if he attempts to do a little good, there'll be a little force against him. If he attempts to do great goodness, then he's going to come up against tremendous forces. And Klal Yisrael that attempted at this moment the greatest heights, then you had this counterforce against them. And secondly, that just as disease and infection must have an achiza, must have somehow where it can get into the body. Okay. If the body is sound, it cannot get into the body. There must be some vacuum, some shortcoming, some imperfection to allow a disease or infection to get into the body. So is it with the power of evil. When people will seek elementary levels, it's a level they can attain totally. So there the Yetzer Hara will have very little effect on them. Although they themselves won't be picking themselves off the ground too easily, too much. But when Yisrael starts to seek high levels, and especially like here at Matan Torah, the time of the giving of the Torah, these are levels which a person cannot attain in totality. So there are going to be chisorin, shortcomings and imperfections. And that's where the Yetzer Hara can take hold. So this is why the Yetzer Hara likes to leave the other nations and go after Yisrael and after the Talmud Chacham. And why Dafke, in particular at this moment, when Yisrael reached their greatest heights, they fell to their greatest depths. So, with the background of the psukim that we have from Rashi, Al Pi HaChazal, in accordance to the sages, and with this understanding of the force of evil in the world, so we can understand now that with the Erev Rav, the masses of people that were there, that were not from Israel and were not tried and tested, and with the fact that there was a miscalculation and they're in the middle of the wilderness, and Moshe went up to a mountain for 40 days and they never saw him again. They thought they would never see him again. He didn't come when he said he would. And the Satan and the power of evil, and especially at that moment when they were at the greatest heights of the world, came to Klal Yisrael this great tragedy. Now what can we learn from all of this? We learn many principles. We don't have time to go into each principle at length, but we'll just make some short comments. Firstly, we learn the power of the Yetzer Hara. A person should never underestimate the power of the Yetzer Hara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. It actually was created for his good. He must not be afraid of it. There's a medrash that states that after the Almighty created the entire world and he said, Vayar ki tov mi'od, that he saw the world was very, very good. He only said this because he had placed the Yetzer Hara, this power of evil, in the world. The Yetzer Hara is something that is basically the best, can be the best friend that man has. Because without it, then it would be impossible for a person to achieve anything in this world. Because firstly, he would not necessarily have drive to achieve it, and secondly, what he would achieve would be without, would not be considered an achievement at all. And it's only through this that he gains greatness in this world, true greatness, and the world to come, reward in the world to come. The fact is that when a person is dead and he leaves this world, then there's no Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara is not something that we must despise, but nevertheless we must never underestimate it. The fact is the Mishnah Masechta Ovis states, Al tamin bi'atzmecho ad yemeischo, that a person should never trust in himself until the day of his death. Now, the Gemara states, Ki yetze leva odem ramin urav. In the Torah it says, yetze leva odem ramin urav. This power of evil is in the world and it's in man. And it was placed in man. Min urav. The Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah here, mishaninar. From the moment the fetus starts to move out of the womb of the mother, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed the power of evil. It's with the man from his birth. He's known as a Melech Ksil V'Zokin, as an old king. An old king and a foolish king. Why is he known as an old king? Because the Yetzer Tov does not enter the person in totality until he's bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. So therefore the Yetzer Hara is older. This is why he's referred to as the old king. And I've once mentioned several times, there's a Zohar Kodesh that states that if you take an animal is born, and you put a fire next to it, it'll run away. If you take a baby and you put a fire next to it, the baby will try to touch the fire. Animals don't have to be protected. If you have a swimming pool, you have to build a fence around it so children don't fall into it. Don't have to build a fence around it so animals don't fall into it. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, why? Because this is the power of evil. And it was given to man, this power. It was not in this form given to animals. And therefore they protect themselves. And the Gemara brings here in Masechta Sukkah that the Yetzer Hara is misgaber ala odom b'chol yom. Every day the Yetzer Hara gets up in the morning and tries to overcome the person with new ways, new strategies, new weapons. If you were successful against this power yesterday, doesn't mean that you'll be able to succeed against him today in the same way. Because every day is mischadish, every day he creates new strategies against the person. And mevakish lahamisay, the power of this evil is so strong that he wants to drive a person to his death, which we see. He starts a little. So he'll tell a person, do this, and do this, and do that. He'll tell a person, smoke a cigarette. Then smoke drugs, and then go do something else. Until eventually he destroys him. See? Never underestimate the power of Ra. He has no Rachmanas. He has no Rachmin, no compassion. Don't look for compassion from him. He will try with all of his strategies to mislead the person and to tempt the person till total destruction. Just like a little child, you put a fire in front of him, he will try to touch the fire. And then the Gemara says, "Meisisa l'adam b'leilam hazeh, u'meid olav l'leilam habo." He is so wicked that in this world he will come to tempt the person, to entice the person. He'll come to the person and say, "Do this, steal this, or do this, whatever you're not supposed to do." He'll say, "Do it," and he'll give 100 reasons why you should do it. It tastes good. It's forbidden fruits. It tastes good. Nobody will know. Nothing will happen to you, and so forth and so on. He will give you 100 reasons why you should do it. And he will be the one in the next world who will testify against you that you did do it. So never think that he's your friend. He's a very good force to have in the world, but never think that he's your friend. He will entice the person to go against the Almighty in this world and tell him the reasons why he should do it and what benefits he'll have from it. And no one will know about it, and he will be the one who will testify against you in the next world. So there's much to be said on that, but let it just suffice that a person must recognize his power and not close his eyes to it. Second thing that we learn from here is how careful one must be, especially someone in a position of leadership, when he gives instructions. Moshe said he'll return in 40 days, and they thought he meant 40 days from this morning, and Moshe meant after 40 complete days. He was counting 40 days, nights and days. So Moshe was only starting to count from that evening. So there was a miscalculation there of hours. And that was the beginning of this end. We see how important it is for a person to be careful with instructions that he gives to someone else, especially if a lot depends on it, what this lack of definition can lead to. Another point, Erev Rav. Influence. Influence has tremendous force. Had it not been for the Erev Rav, from this mixtures of people that came along, then this undertaking would have never gotten off the ground. Because of that was Shiches v'Hishkis. They brought themselves down, and they brought Klal Yisrael down with them. Many, many times we see that people destroy themselves, and they destroy others with them. This is the whole tactic of mob panic, right? Propaganda. If you can panic a few, then they will panic the others. If you bring down a few, they will bring down the rest with them. This was the aid of Rav. Another point, Hatzlochas Asotin. We see that the power of evil has a power in the world where he can even perform things that look like miracles. They threw gold into the furnace, and Bayotso and an eagle, a calf, came out. It became dark. Cheshech, darkness with clouds, with a Tzuras Odom, and they saw an image that looked like a man floating through the heavens. This was the Sotan. Now many times we're misled in our naivete that somewhere, someplace in the world, it looks like someone made a miracle, and it makes news all over the world. Someone made a miracle. Someone cured someone over there, or there's a statue that has a force over here to cure, or someone is able to give a brocha and it does all kind of things, and so forth and so on. This caused the downfall here. Aaron and the others weren't deceived. So a golden calf came out, so what? So there was darkness, so what? Therefore what? So someone can make magic, so what? Therefore what does it mean? We must recognize. Firstly, the Rambam writes that most of these things are frauds. See? They're frauds. They're con men. But even if it is real, so it is real. Therefore what? Therefore it means we should go serve it. If all of a sudden an image would fall down from the heavens, does it mean we should go serve it? A Torah is not based on miracles. A Torah is not based on tricks that people can do. But our Torah is based soundly on Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, and that's all. Because we know there's a power of Hatzlochas Asotin. Another thing we learn from here is many times we see there are movements that take hold and they take fire and they become popular, and people say it must be right. Not true. Just because it takes hold and it becomes popular, therefore it should be right. And how many false religions were there in the world that millions and millions were attracted to it? Therefore it means it's right. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Israel and said, Le Merubchem, I didn't choose you because you're you have the greatest numbers in the world. I choose you, Amaat, you're the smallest nation in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is not interested in numbers. Le Bechayel, he's not interested in great armies. He's not interested in popularity. He's interested in truth. And the Gemara says, Emes is with an Aleph and a Mem and a Tov. The first letter is at the beginning of the alphabet, and the Mem is in the middle, and the Tov is at the end, because the truth is always difficult to find. Sheker, Shin Kufrei, these letters are right next to each other. Why? Because that's easy to find. Just go anywhere and you'll find Sheker, you'll find falsehood. That's easy to find. That's the masses, that's the popularity, because that's easy to find. But truth, that's difficult to find. That you have to search for. So we must not be misled with that. Then we find that a person has to be careful that the more he grows in heights of serving Hashem, in heights of perfection, in heights of Torah, the more careful he must be. Because kol ha-godol mi-chaveiro yetzer godol himenu. Because the more he grows, the more the Yetzer Hara is going to go after him. And he must be very, very careful. And another point we learn, that a person should never seek levels which do not rightfully belong to him. It's very, very dangerous. And unfortunately, we find this often in our times. Where I came from in the yeshivas, the Litvishi yeshivas, there, people ran away from levels. They didn't run after them. They never wanted to do things that they held were not for me, they were too high for me, too lofty for me. Today we seem to have just the opposite, where everybody is seeking things that seem to be way over their heads, lofty levels. It's very dangerous, because if a person tries to seek a level which he cannot acquire in totality, then he's inviting disease. He's inviting danger. And a person must be very careful with that. And then another point. Even when a person does seek high levels, you have a person who's roi lekach, someone who is a learned person, who is of sound physical and spiritual health, and he's seeking higher levels in Torah and Avodas Hashem and serving Hashem, even when he does seek those levels, it's good advice where he should do it very quietly. Bitzanua. He should do it very quietly and not make it noticeable. In the yeshivas that I learned in, there if you had an individual who was on a great spiritual height, and he did things because of that height, demanded it or expected it, he didn't do it publicly. And the fact is, if you would ask him if he did it, he would deny it. He did it in ultimate privacy, because in no way did he want to stand out. Again, today you have, I don't know where it comes from, but just the opposite, where you see everybody publicly tries to, I'll do the next one, in all types of areas. Therein tells in another yeshivas, if a person was a tremendous Talmud Chochem, and maybe he decided that there was this mitzvah he should do a little better, or this, even though it's kosher, maybe he shouldn't eat it, or so forth and so on, you wouldn't know he was doing it. And if you would ask him, he would deny it. He wouldn't admit it. Because when he did something, he did it very quietly, very sanua, very concealed, and he didn't want to stand out. And the reasons for this anhoga is what we're speaking about now. Actually, the next luchas, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the second tablets, he told Moshe, he says, this time you come alone, and we're not going to make a big celebration out of it. He says, last time I gave the first luchas, and everybody came to the mountain, and there was thunder, and there was lightning, and teles, and there were sounds from the heavens, and the whole world knew about it. And what happened? He says, you see what happened? He says, this time you come alone, and I give you the second tablets, and nobody's going to know about it. Just me and you, because yofeh hatznius. Because how good is privacy. Now this goes with the same logic, that when something tries to grow too high, there's going to be that force against it to repel it, to destroy it. So at least if something is growing high, let it be not so noticeable. Let it be in a quiet manner. And perhaps that way there won't be so much force against it. I heard from, we all heard, Rabbi Eloy, a very good friend, Rabbi Eloy, who speaks in the yeshiva quite often. He said over a very, very wonderful interpretation in the Tanakh and Malachim, which he said over from the Zeir HaKodesh. I don't remember if he quoted it from the Malbim or not, but the Malbim brings it. It's in Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet, Posuk Yud Gimel. And actually it's the Haftarah that we read for Parshas Vayero. Elisha came to Shunem. He came to the city of Shunem. B'sham Ishak Dola. And there was a great woman. And when he used to come through that town, she was a very righteous woman, and a Balas Hachnosis Orchim, she would bring in guests. So she used to invite him to come and stay with them. And one day she told her husband that this man is Isha Lakim Kodeshu, he's a holy man, and he comes this way many times. Nasana Lieskir Ktano. Let us make a little room upstairs for him in the attic. Venosim Lay Sham Mito Veshulchan Vekise Umanaira. And there we'll put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp. And whenever he'll come, he'll have a private room to stay. So when Elisha came, and she told him, you have a private room, whenever you're here, you stay there. So he told Gehazi, his lad, call the woman here. I want to thank her for all of this. So he said, Hine charabte leinu es kol acharoda azois, you've gone through all of this trouble for us. Me'la asois loch. What can I do in return for you? Hayesh ledab aloch el ha-melech or el sar ha-tzova? Perhaps I can speak to the king for you or to his general for you. Batomer, and she said, b'seich ami anechi yeshavas. She said, I dwell amongst my nation. So the question is, firstly, what did he want to do for her? I shall speak to the king or to the general. What business did she have with the king and what business did she have with the general? And secondly, what did she answer, b'seich ami anechi yeshavas, that I dwell amongst my nation? So the Malbim brings from the Zohar HaKadosh that says as follows: Im yesh ledabe bishvilei al malkei shel olam. The king he was referring to was the king of the world. Perhaps I can speak for you to the king of the world, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe there is something that you need, and I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll personally bring your request to him because I'm a novi, I'm a prophet. Or, if not to the king, I'll go to his angels, his general. Maybe there's something that you're having, a misfortune or not enough mazel. I'll go to his angels and I'll bring your request personally to him. This is what Elisha, the Novi, the prophet, asked her. Let me do something in return for all of this chesed that you have done for me. So she answered, "B'seicha mi anechi yeshavas." She said, "No, do not take my request to the king of the world or to the general, to his generals. I dwell amongst my nation." She said, "Ein reitze lifresh min haklal utfilas harabim. I do not want to be treated individually and differently than the nation. I dwell amongst my nation. I want to be treated together with my nation. I do not want to be singled out. So do not take any of my requests personally to the king of the world." Okay. This is what she answered. And Rabbi Loy at that time, he was defining a custom that he had seen in the Mir Yeshiva, which he never understood, and he said perhaps this was the reason. That when it came to on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the great Rosh Yeshivas of the Mir Yeshiva, it was a yeshiva of 500 Talmidim, there was close to 1,000 davening there, they didn't want to be called up to the Torah on the Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. And he felt perhaps this was the reason, because if they would be called up, how do you call up a Rosh Yeshiva? A Mir Rosh Yeshiva, you would have to call them up, Merenu, Harav, with all kind of titles. And the Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, they didn't want to be individualized. They didn't want to be treated differently. They want to be treated like everyone else. And what is the reason for this? It's similar. There are other reasons also, other related reasons, but it's similar to what we're speaking of. Because if a person is seeking great heights, he should be careful, though, to do it quietly, not do it openly. Because if he becomes a perish miratzibur, if he starts to have heights which are too higher than the rest of the tzibur, and he is going already yetze minashior, he's protruding, and he's elevating higher than other people, he's only going to bring more, he's going to attract more attention to himself, he's going to attract more counterforces to himself. So therefore, one should not seek heights which are beyond him. But even when he does seek heights which are for him, it was always the custom, they did it in a very private, quiet manner, in order not to attract more counterforces than necessary, like what we see here in Klal Yisrael, with the Matan Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and the next time he said, it's going to be private, Yofe Atznius, let's not attract more attention than necessary. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this Sedra on the Keach HaYetzer and the power of the evil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed into this world for the good, for the ultimate good of mankind.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.